Hi, welcome to Gridiron Gurus. I'm Travis Ozarzik alongside Drew Bonifant for the Kennebec Journal and Morning Sentinel. It is regional finals week, so we are joined here this week by Madison head coach Scott Franzosi. Coach, your team is in a regional final for the first time since 1994. Talk about what that kind of means to the town of Madison and to your team.
Well, it's you know, 23, 24 years. I believe 94 was the last year. It's big. You know, it's something we plan on every year. You know, we don't, I think every team does. But it's, you know, to see what we hear a lot. We talk as coaches, you know, some of us came from an era where it was a strong tradition back in the 94s, even to the 80s, where a lot of people, you know, wanting that tradition to come back, and now it's here. So, you know, hopefully they're celebrating it. You know, I know the boys are excited. This is a group of seniors, for example, 4 years, work very hard, focused. You know, it's obviously big, but it's been a long, you know, 20 years. It's been, the program's been down at times, and it's nice to see it back, to see the kids energized and the community behind it and the district. So it's just good for everybody.
It's kind of been a gradual progression from you guys, from just, you know, making the playoffs, to getting a home game in the playoffs, to earning the bye, to getting a win this year. Now, you know, you're taking another step.
Yeah, it's, you know, you have your Cinderella stories. It's almost like you couldn't write it any better. You know, every year it feels like we're taking that next step. It was 2 or 3 years where that was a big focus this year, making sure we take it one game at a time. But the one thing we need to do is we need to win a playoff game, you know, for the fourth year in the playoffs. So that's, it's like that next step. Last year was the bye week, you know, having that bye, having the home game. This year we get the same, you know, we get the win. We're, it's an incredibly focused group of kids. It's, you can see the program, it's built on them, you know, the kids that buy in. So it's, it's a natural progression, and we know we're still planning on two more. You know, we've got two more to go.
Coach, did the team feel any sort of additional pressure coming into this playoffs to get to this point, considering the regular season that you had and everybody saying, oh, it's Wells and Madison all throughout the season? Did that add anything to it, or was the team able to pretty much put that aside and just focus on playing football once the playoffs got going?
Well, that being the one loss, and, you know, back at that time, I believe it was week 4, you know, Madison at Wells, and that was kind of one of the games of the state, game of the week type of thing. Honestly, I don't know if we mentioned much about it afterward. You know, they're incredibly focused on one game at a time, what's important now. So we didn't really, you know, I don't believe they felt the pressure. You know, they're, again, a very focused group. I've been blessed, I feel, the last few years, having a group that stays focused in the moment. Is they don't look ahead, they don't look back so much. You know, we try to stay focused on what we've got to do now. And the conference, we've talked a lot, and I've heard you guys mention it as well. You know, I watch Gurus, I'm a big fan. I hear you guys talk about, yeah, a little bit of a plug there. Is just talking about, we felt Campbell Conference D was going to be very balanced. I still believe it was. You know, winning record or win percentage isn't always a great indicator of that. It was a competitive conference. We expected it to be, you know, with the Oak Hills and Wells and Winthrop's. And so, you know, I think it kind of fell out the way it was. Here's Wells, here's Madison. We end up 1-2. We've been there for a long time during the season. Now here we are in the conference championship. So, you know, I think maybe that is a reason why we didn't feel pressure. You know, it's just we expect every week that we're going to be in a battle, whether it's a Dirigo, who is a very much, they were a good team when we played them in week 2, very much improved in the playoffs. Winthrop, riding momentum and getting healthy and doing some good things. They came in with momentum. So that, I think, builds confidence. As far as pressure, you know, I love my kids, how they stay focused on a game plan. They stay focused on opponent, and they stay focused on the moment. So I don't really feel like they've felt that pressure that way.
It did seem like it kind of settle that way once the playoffs got going. You know, we talked about how deep the conference could be at the start of the season. Then as the season got to, like, its midway point, it seemed like you had that cream at the top kind of thing with you, Lisbon, and Wells, and everybody else seeming like they were a tier below. But then you get Oak Hill beating Winthrop late in the season. You get Winthrop beating Lisbon in the playoffs, and it seemed to kind of muddy that picture. And kind of talk about what you're saying, that we saw that there were more quality teams in that conference than maybe it looked in the middle of the season.
Yes, it's on paper going in. You know, you kind of go on what you know, and then we've got to show up and play. But you take teams, a great example is Coach Mooney in Mountain Valley. You know, the first look I had, for example, Mountain Valley, early in the season, it was scouting for Dirigo week 2. So I'm obviously not looking at them as much as Dirigo. looking at them though on film, thinking, boy, that's a big physical team. They're deceiving with their spin offense. That's a solid team. Maybe had a rough start with some turnovers there. So when they came to Madison, there was an example. They came to Madison, and here we are. They're a winning record. We're 5-1, I believe, or 6-1 at that point, and 12-8 ball game. You know, they were a handful, and they played tough. And so at the end of it, and they were a playoff team. You know, they did some great things last week on Wells when you look at them on film. Moved the ball well at times. Played some solid defense. So I think that's kind of an example of what was the quality in the conference. It's, I know in Madison, we had a couple of 2-6 seasons. Mm-hmm. Might seem a little bit, people say, well, come on, man, you know, 2-6. Very competitive teams. We were a touchdown away or a game away. So if you're staying, you know, competitive that way, you're building foundation. But point being, any given Friday, you know, it's very good teams. And I feel Campbell Conference was that type of conference.
What can you say about this matchup with Wells? It was a very good game in week 4 of the regular season. They got you 25-21. Going back down there, how's this matchup look this time around, 6 weeks later or so?
You look at Wells, I don't feel it looks much different. You know, it's a little bit redundant. I've said it in the past, talking about teams like Wells, is they have a system. We talk very much about, look, there are some athletes within that system. You talk about a McCormick Kuhman, who's a Player of the Year candidate, Potter in the backfield, Wrigley at quarterback. Good athletes there, but they're very much about a system. 4-4 defense. Don't feel there are going to be any changes there. Wing T, they are very efficient. They are fundamental. They're going to do the things that they want to do. How do we stop that? So don't see a lot of changes scheme-wise. You know, I wouldn't expect that from Coach Roche anyway, to be honest. They're a team that obviously has gotten it done all year. They're undefeated. They're still the team to beat. You know, we went down there, I feel, played a very competitive game. They were better than us on that night. Now we've got another chance. So I think a big part is going into an environment. It's a beautiful facility down there. They've got an incredible student body and support. So you don't want to say hostile environment, but, you know, you're on the road, and we know that that's going to be tough. They're going to have a lot of support there. I believe we will as well. So maybe that's the biggest challenge. I like the way we match up. I like the way we compare and contrast in both ways. So let's, you know, let's go Saturday and get it done, you know, see who the best team is.
Speaking of that, Saturday afternoon game as opposed to a Friday, does that matter to you? I mean, you play it when you play it, so. Mm-hmm.
Well, if any of my players end up watching this, they might, you know. It's a joke with us because I joke around and say I think some of them are vampires because they hate to come out in the daylight. Is they're very much a Friday night team, and I love Friday night lights. Knowing that we're not Texas, we're not California, it gets a little bit chilly on a Friday night this time of year. It changes conditions. We talked about that today, and you know, it's a little bit different because usually we practice in daylight and play under the lights. Now we're practicing under the lights and playing in daylight.
Sure.
But you take today's practice, when it's dark at 5, there's already frost on the field. So yeah. Those are the conditions this time of year that I worry about. Not wet, not snow. It's the cold creates a slickness on the football. So that might be a little bit of a difference going into Saturday. The joke is that you know, our kids, they love Friday nights. I grew up on Saturday football, so I like Saturday football. I like Friday. I like football, you know, so we'll play whether it's daylight or dark. But I like the Saturday for one reason, well, a couple of reasons this time of year. It allows you an extra day to prep, which is never, when you know you're 1-2 steps away from getting there and having that shot.
Sure.
An extra day to prep and also to continue to make sure you're healthy. You know, you game plan and you make sure kids get an extra day of rest. So, you know, my guys, they've broken some superstitions this year. Sometimes it felt like maybe they're a little bit leery about Saturday. We haven't even discussed it this week. We're very focused on Wells in the game at hand.
Is this your first Saturday game this season?
One at Oak Hill.
We played Oak Hill. Oak Hill. Pardon me, yeah.
We have this thing. It's a Saturday game, and it's whiteout. Whiteout meaning blue jersey, white pants, being blue and white Madison. Sometimes they want to go white jerseys, white pants. We had a little bit of a rough game a few years ago. So they had that on there. You know, we selectively remember, you know, those
sure.
things. So we went to Spruce Mountain, and we had a good game there. We won with whiteout, so we're like, there's another monkey off our back. You know, we're all superstitious to an effect. So,
whatever it takes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's kind of funny you talk about the difference, you know, how some people perceive playing Saturday versus Friday, because Wells played Oak Hill this year and also played on Saturday afternoon, and it was the very first thing that Coach Roche said after the game. Went up to him and he said, I don't know what it is. We're just not a Saturday team. So, I mean, it's...
Sounds familiar. I can relate yeah. because I've heard the same things. And, you know, and I'm getting that a lot in the community. What's going on? Why are we playing Saturday? You're going to have to call Tim and ask him. You know, they're the ones who said it. Maybe even the MP, you know, I don't know how it was set up, but, you know, it's... It, sometimes it feels like people think it's an advantage to certain teams. If they play on those days, look, we both have the same amount of time in between. We both got to show up on the same day. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I can definitely relate to Coach on that one. I've heard that before. If we have a rough Saturday game, we just can't play in the daylight. Yeah.
So. Well, state games are on Saturdays.
Well, and that's what I reminded them of. Gotta get used to it at some point. Where we want to be. We're going to be playing at Fitzy, and it's going to be on a Saturday. So.
Okay, let's look at some of the other games around the region this weekend, starting with the Pine Tree Conference Class B North game between Lawrence and Skowhegan. These are two more of the teams from Somerset County, like you guys. Actually, all four teams from Somerset County, including MCI, are still left. So I guess, you know, Somerset County is the hotbed of Maine high school football this year. Sure. Lawrence at Skowhegan was the highest scoring game in the state this year in the regular season. 58-56, Skowhegan wins. Back and forth and back and forth again. Drew, what do you see? Do you think this is going to be another shootout with the 17 wind chill and everything that's coming with that on Friday night?
That result happened in the season. I remember I was at another game and following it on Twitter and being like, where is this coming from? I knew Skowhegan could rack up the score like that. I didn't know Lawrence necessarily, but it's cold weather. You think is really going to put a damper on passing games, and Skowhegan really lives on theirs, thrives on theirs. So are they going to be able to, you know, especially if the ball is slicking up, like you said, connect on some of those passes? I got to think it's going to tamp down the scoring a little bit, but considering how these teams attacked each other's defenses during the regular season, it might still be, you know, we're probably not looking at a 17-14 game or something like that.
Well, we might be, because both teams played really good defense last week in their semifinal game. Skowhegan, who hadn't stopped anybody all season, beats Brewer 18-13. Lawrence coming off a nice 17-12 win over Brunswick. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's obviously defenses are getting better. Are they getting good enough to slow them completely down? And, you know, we'll see.
It does seem like, and Coach, I mean, if you have noticed the same thing, it seems like in the playoffs, defense across the board, pretty much in all the classes, starts to not just become more important, but teams start to kind of find their defense, their stride on defense. It sounds like that was what was taking place in that first week in Class B. Teams that hadn't been all that great on defense in the regular season, starting to find it. Whether that's the conditions, whether that's more attention.
I think, you know, it becomes more the immediate focus.
Mm-hmm.
I can't speak for other coaches. I do feel a vast majority of us do say you win with defense first.
Yeah.
I feel most of us preach defense every week. At the same time, now it's, you know, points can come. Doesn't matter how you win. You know, we talk about that. We've been known as this explosive type of offense. So, guys, we don't need to score 49 points per game. Not when we're giving up 14. So maybe it becomes more of that. I can say with us very much this week, it's been about scheming, you know, not just the it's that time of year where you don't get your indie work as much as usual, your group work, you focus more on game plan. But it seems like maybe you are finding your rhythm, you know, maybe a part of it also is that you're focusing a lot more on that. Let's stop an opponent first before we worry about scoring a touchdown, because if we can hold them to zero, then we win. You know, it's, I think a lot of us do focus a lot more intensively on defense this time of year, especially with the conditions, with the weather.
Yeah, it just seems like it's harder to kind of put your confidence in, we'll just get the ball back and we'll just march down the field and score. The conditions just make it tougher. It just, points become more at a premium. So you got to be able to stop them if you're going to be able to hold off some of these teams.
Sure. You saw a game last week, and points were certainly at a premium in Class C South with Gardner defeating Levitt 7-6. This week, Gardner's going to Cape Elizabeth. Drew, what have you seen out of this Gardner team that's really come along in the last month or so?
I think it's been they play defense well throughout all their levels. Their secondary is good. The linebacking core is good. The defensive line has been really, really good of late. But one thing I noticed in those last games, and I was going back and looking at those games, was how well they play when they get backed up into their own end. Against Levitt, they allowed on plays on the grounds, whether it's rushing plays or drop back pass plays that result in a sack, from their 40 back, so, you know, in Levitt's end of the field, 27 carries for 145 yards. That's 5.3 a clip.
Wow.
And then they get inside the Gardner 40, and they allowed 36 yards and 16 carries. That's 2.25 yards a clip. So they get better as as the pressure the field rises,
gets shorter, they get better.
And that's I mean, I think that's kind of true in football in general. You know, less space to work, less space to operate, especially when you get down the red zone. But to change it that much of a clip is pretty impressive. And that's how they've been able to allow one score in each of their last three games.
Wow. Coach, when you're coming back, like, you know, you're in this position, Gardner lost a tight game at Cape Elizabeth, or against Cape Elizabeth the regular season. You guys lost a tight game against Wells. Do you try to, like, just look at, you know, the minutiae, the little things that made a difference in that first time around that you can hang something on with your team? Or are you more big picture?
No, the details. I can tell you with great certainty that I'm running on artificial energy right now. We're going into Thursday. It's watching film until your eyes bleed, you know, trying to pick up every little thing that you can see. What did they do? We run a motion, for example. How do they adjust? Is there some way that we can capitalize on that? So very much about the minutiae. Of course, it's got to be about big picture, because if we look at our opponent, again, Wells, who is a very talented team, very fundamental across the board, and a very good system. You know, a wing tee system that is tough to defend. You know, you could maybe have to, depending on your defense, tweak it a little bit. So there's that big picture, but a lot more about the details, making sure we're seeing the big picture game plan. But what if this happens? We just had a walkthrough period where we talked about a lot of that.
Sure.
So, yeah, definitely details. And with two teams like us in that type of a game, and where if you're expecting the same, you know, a game of attrition, that's what you're looking for, those opportunities potentially.
Okay. The final game this weekend is in Class C North. We have Maine Central Institute coming off an upset win at Winslow, going up to Mount Desert Island, the regional defending champs. It's going to be a cold, dark night in the middle of the island up there. Coach, you've played MDI in the past. This is they don't do anything fancy, but what they do very well.
They sure do. It's Coach Shields and what they do there. I'm not sure how long Mark's been there, but I mean, it's been quite a while, T offense, you know, and we played them 4 years in the Big Ten until we moved to, you know, D and Campbell Conference this year. And you knew what to expect every single game. Every single game, it was T. They run four or five plays out of it, whether it's the cross dive, it's the, you know, they sweep a little bit out of it. He does do a few different things because they've tended to have maybe some more special type of skill players. Colby Lee, for example, I feel one of the most underrated running backs in the state.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. He's, you know, and with Croy Albee, the big guy, you know, the Phelps kid runs the offense well. I think we talked about this last year. I made the comment that, you know, none of what we do is easy. It seems simple in the system. Yeah. Boy, they're efficient in what they do. I knew coming in, you put it on paper, I said, if we're still in the what we call the Big 11 now, the old Big 10,
sure,
is they're definitely the favorite. You know, they're so balanced in everything they do. Mm-hmm. Their defense gets overlooked a lot. It's a great system. I know Coach Arnold's on that side of the ball a lot. They're good. They're disciplined. They're well coached. So they're tough. You know, they're and playing on the island, tough place to play this time of year. I'm thinking, thank goodness I'm going south. I know it's not much warmer, but over there it's going to be on a Friday night. You know, it's going to be a chilly. It's going to be cold. So now MDI, they have great respect for what they do. And MCI is a program as well. We've scrimmaged them before. Coach Bertrand has done a tremendous job. They are a perennial powerhouse. You know, great to see them there again. A tough game last week with a great team like Winslow. That's going to be one heck of a matchup too. I believe physical teams that kind of play, no disrespect, football and phone booth, we kind of spread the field, but they play that tight stuff, and it's probably going to be a smash mouth game.
Yeah, I'm interested to see. MCI has been kind of versatile throughout this playoff run. Yeah. They just, you know, ran it down Nokomis' throat in the first round, and last week at Winslow they opened it up and threw a little more. Be interesting to see which approach they tried down against Mount Desert Island. And defensively, you know, maybe they didn't do it in scrimmages against you, but they line up in so many different defensive alignments that it's tough to kind of get used to. To Coach Shields at MDI last night, he was like, look, you know, watching them on film against Winslow, we saw five different defensive formations just that game alone. So they give you a lot to think about.
Yeah, we don't see them, you know, because we used to do the round robin jamboree, we used to call it, with Coach Bertrand. It was an excellent day of football. So many reps for everybody. So you only see them for about a half an hour, you know, in this controlled scrimmage environment. But we did see that. They are very multiple. I remember, as an example, Coach Doucette, Oak Hill, I listened to one of his interviews heading into our matchup, and they talked about front, and he talked about our 4-2, and I'm paraphrasing, but basically how it's a constantly evolving front. Mm-hmm. And it kind of gave me goosebumps because as a coach, that's what you love to hear, is that when you can move fronts like that, that is frustrating for an offensive line that wants you to just line up and drive block. So I believe MCI does that well. You know, they do that very well. And like you said, when I say smash mouth, MCI has always been, they do run in space. But they're big, they're physical, they just always seem to be that team. You know?
Yeah, they have an experienced line that's exactly. Not afraid to get out and try to pancake you.
I'm interested in the psychological aspect of that game because that was MDI almost ran MCI off the field in their matchup earlier this year, had a big lead, looked like they were going to be running time in the second half. MDI mm-hmm. did bring in some of the subs, but MCI played really well in the second half, got themselves back into that game. They ended up having, it was a, onside kick to sure. get a chance. That, it was one of those crazy scenarios at the end. But the point being that they fought their way back into the game. And so with a game like this, it seems to really put a lot of importance on how they start out from MCI's perspective. If MDI comes out and scores boom, boom, in their first two drives and they're up 14-0, does the thought set in, oh, here we go again. Maybe we can't run with these guys. Versus if they're looking at a tie game after the first quarter, tie game going into halftime, maybe you think, well, it was the second half of that game that was more indicative of where we are again with the Trojans, not the first half. So,
right. Mm. Psychological is a big part of it. I agree with that. It can be. It's generally when you get to this point, you're facing an opponent usually that you've already faced, so it's a rematch.
Right.
And how did that game shake out? How does it start? MCI. That's a great point. MDI as well. If you take that game in particular, T offense is the best defense. It keeps your, keeps your offense off the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are times we played them. I've talked in the past where they'll eat up a quarter. Going on.
That's how they beat Winslow in the regional final last year.
Exactly.
Just grinding out drives.
Yeah, yeah. And they do it well. But the psychological part, when you're looking at, again, primarily rematches, how did that first game go? We've talked about it a lot. Wells, who's an exceptional team. We jumped out big on them. 21-7 at halftime, and second half we didn't get it done. They did. So what happens when we face that adversity? That's a big part of it. If you're here at this point, you've done a pretty good job. You've had a great season. So those, again, the little things that we talked about, the psychological factor, those can be huge this time of year.
And MCI has got to be playing with a lot of confidence coming off a win at Pool and Field, which hardly anybody does in the playoffs to Winslow and win on that field. I think the last time that anyone had done it was Morris in 2008, to go back almost 10 years.
Long time,
so it's been a while.
That has to be a huge momentum, big mm-hmm. confidence builder there, sure.
Oh, yeah, there's no question that if you were to ask, Coach Bertrand and the rest of those players, they would say that they're a completely different team now than they were at that point in the season when they played MDI. But
yeah.
I've always kind of wondered that when you get that rematch with a team that beat you considerably in the first game, if there's almost you'd rather be the team that won that first game going into the second game, but I wonder if there's almost an advantage for the team coming off a loss and that the team that won will just want to do what it did the first time, but work the first time. Why fix something that's broke, or I'm trying to say fix something like that, mm-hmm. versus the team that lost says, okay, we have to really come up with something new, something different, taken by surprise. So if you might get that, so if the team that's coming off a loss comes in with kind of the element of surprise, and maybe it's not enough to make up for that disparity in talent if that's why you lost the first game, but it does seem like that sometimes is on the losing team. So
yeah, and I can understand that. That makes perfect sense because that's exactly if it is there, if it's a relatively large margin or coming into there, I agree completely. There's a tendency for a team to say, we're a team. I think a lot of teams are say, look, we're going to do what we do. We tweak things, but you come into that game and think, well, why are we going to fix anything that's broken? It wasn't broke. We beat them by 20, for example.
That's what I was trying to say.
Exactly. So now here comes the other team saying, well, maybe we got to change things up a little bit. Or, there are teams that just say we have to do things. We got to be more efficient, or maybe it was turnovers. Who knows? Yeah. But I can definitely understand that perspective, is if you're the one that was on the winning end, we got to just play football. The other team might be thinking, well, let's see if we can do something a little bit different to be more successful. So makes sense.
Okay, that's going to do it for us this week. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening if you're listening to the podcast. Be sure to check out centralmaine.com for all our high school football coverage, high school sports in general. When you go out to the games this weekend, dress warmly. It's going to be chilly. It's finally winter football weather, and we will see you next week when we talk about state championship games. For Drew, I'm Travis. Coach Franzosi, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
We will see you next time on Gridiron Gurus.